right, good evening, everyone. You might recognize this fellow here as the world heavyweight champion of Bubsy. We've got him here on the stream for everyone's enjoyment today. And we are going to see some expert-level Bubsy 1 play.
You flew me in just for this.
Yep, exactly.
I came in like a few hours ago. I'm leaving as soon as this is over.
Yeah, because you got another Bubsy appointment, you know.
Down like Switzerland.
Yeah, you're in high demand.
Yeah. I won this title when I was at the Olympics in Lillehammer, so...
Okay.
People keep asking me how I got that title. I don't remember myself. I was quite drunk.
So, I'm going to throw on the gameplay monitor and we can just go at it. How is...
Yeah, we're gonna sit back and... Enjoy. In awe, I think. Yep. And
well, I maintain...
Go on this... incredible ride.
I maintain that this game is actually quite a good platformer for its era, so we'll see. What would people think?
I pulled Corey's audio down quite a bit. Let us know if we're fairly balanced. Yeah, I know I'm louder than Audie here.
Oh, I'm a low talk.
I can.
If I'm hearing myself come back, so I'm.
Oh, I mean, obviously,
I can't do anything about it.
Obviously, we can't wear headphones.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. But
hopefully, I'll got a little better.
If I'm distorted at all, let me know. I feel like I have it in a pretty good place, at least from here. And I think that when it distorts, I think it might be like more your mixer or something is going on, because all my levels are sounding good when I stream from here. I think if there's...
Oh, Corey is getting echo from my speakers. I mean, there's not much we can do about that because we both need to hear Corey, so I can't wear headphones. I mean, I can lower Corey a little bit.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can just lower me. Then I won't hear myself either.
Yeah, I mean, but I can only lower you so much or else we can't hear you.
Slime, yeah, sandwich. Is that lava?
I don't know what the substance is, like chemically, but I always just called it like red soda for some reason. As a kid, I think a lot of fluids in video games were soda, and I don't know why. Like I said the same about like Mario when you go into the castle. Instead of thinking lava,
the original Metroid, there's like that yellow, that orange stuff.
Right.
And some of them like have secret rooms underneath them that you can like go down. So he and his brothers, you know, distinguished between those by calling them good OJ and bad OJ. You know, it was just orange juice. It wasn't lava or acid or anything. It was orange juice.
It's like Tang and Minute Maid, basically.
Yeah. So some of it you could go under. That was the good OJ. Sandy's being rowdy, so I'm trying to entertain her with toys. So, how many worlds or levels are in this?
Let's see. There is 7 worlds, I believe.
How many levels per world?
3 levels per world.
Okay.
One sticks out, though, because the western level of the train has also the canyon levels, which is the only place in the game where you have kind of like 2 stages in one.
Kind of a lot more visual variation between the stages.
Yeah, the last stage will also have only one stage, the space stage.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's...
I always like it when that happens. Like right. They feel like, you know, you've gotten this far. Like, you know, cut you a little slack on the last level. You know, I'm a big supporter of the final boss as its own stage.
Right.
I don't remember from John's video. Is there like bosses in this?
There are.
Okay. I can't remember if they were highlighted in John's video or not.
Well, if he did his job right, they should be in there. The bosses aren't necessarily the best part of this game. I mean, every part is the best part, but the bosses tend to be a bit samey. They're not the most creative.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of games have that problem. They're either like...
Right.
Really, like, the bosses are the best part, or they're the weakest part.
Right. It's like this game is kind of like Mario 64. You fight Bowser all the time, you know? It's not much variation. It's just like Mario 64.
Well, that also has King Babam and King Thwomp.
Well,
but then after the first two levels, they were inconsistent about giving you bosses after that. That's anyway. True.
So we could say that this game is a little bit more consistent than Mario 64, actually.
I mean, the thing that impressed me most from John's video was... It's very true, the point that he made, that it's actually very impressive how the visual makeup of the Super Nintendo and Genesis versions is very similar, which was uncommon at the time.
Very uncommon,
I mean, they were generally developed, you know, as completely almost unrelated projects, you know, different versions that don't have a lot in common visually. This is very much closer to what you would expect of a modern multi-platform game.
Yeah.
Audio levels low. I mean, that's mostly because I'm loud.
Yeah, like, I am a low talker, as I said. Like, it's hard for me to speak up because I'm originally Norwegian. I mean, I still am. I wasn't rebuilt. But, yeah, back home, we don't talk loud. That's just... not something we do. So whenever I come to the U.S., it's just repeating myself is very much part of the game. So.
My wife went to Norway a few years ago.
Yours a little bit more.
Your dog took your seat.
Yeah, she'll do that. She'll do that.
So it seems like people... like the new episode today. I mean, it's we weren't sure how it was going to get received, but I thought it was going to be. It's interesting. A lot of people are saying, "Oh, it's kind of a downer," and that, I think that was kind of the point.
That is kind of the point.
Big motivation for us was to kind of draw attention that there's not a lot going on with this, and hopefully. Someone will take an initiative to do something about it.
Yeah.
I guess. A lot of people were talking about the dust on your Vita.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that was intentional. The truth is, I've played more Vita in the past 2 years than 3DS. If you know, if anyone thinks I'm a Vita hater.
Yeah, well, I think that that's people. Some people said, I think we're saying, you're saying something about the Vita by showing it like that. I'm thinking, you know, I think that's saying more about our time to just play games than anything else.
Well, it also has to do with the fact that I've had very terrible luck with Vita memory card reliability lately.
Mm-hmm.
And, I bought one of those game card to micro SD things that you can use with like custom firmware hacks, and I just haven't gotten around to setting it up yet. But like I've gotten to the point where I just feel like the Vita official firmware is just not reliable enough for me anymore because I was really into playing the PSP Hot Shots Golf last year, and. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I played several other games. I played, probably the last time I used the Vita, actually, was when we made our end of the year video. And I got that off-screen footage of Severed, which is one of the games that I talked about on that. And I was just so annoyed because, like, it wouldn't even boot the game. Even though I had, like, the physical version from PlayAsia, it wouldn't boot it. Like, it wouldn't boot a cartridge game. It was so dumb. So, like, I put in another memory card, you know, without my save, and it worked. But I have just been having really bad luck with Vita memory cards. So I'm done with those. I'm going to have to play the Vita in unofficial ways, even though I don't want to.
Yeah.
But
someone was saying that my audio is kind of hot. So you're just taking. Can you turn me down in Discord? And then. Or like adjust my volume? Because I'm fairly positive that the distortion on my voice.
I have moved your level.
It is not on my end. Because I'm always like blown out. Like whenever
I've lowered your levels in
stream, like I'm not blown out at all.
I've lowered your levels in OBS quite a lot. It's louder than usual for some reason. Hang on, let me see what I can do.
Look, those things look like looks like spaghetti almost.
That was quite a celebration at the end of that one.
We should celebrate this game.
Where do you lower? Here we go. User volume. Who's gonna lower you by like half?
That's cheap.
Yeah, and then you can turn me up in the in OBS. So.
I may not actually have to turn you up that much. Are people hearing Corey echo? I mean, there's not a ton I can do about that. Oh, I need to make you full screen again.
James Machuca, I did not hear anything about the tweet that predicted the title and villain of Star Wars Episode 9 back in 2012. I did not.
Hear about what?
I was saying that somebody, there's a tweet that predicted the title and the villain of the new Star Wars. Back in 2012.
Huh.
I don't like, did that even sell? Okay, my audio is better now. They didn't, did they even, when did Disney buy Star Wars?
2014,
13,
around?
Gosh, was it?
Yeah.
Not, was it only that short of a time ago? I mean, they got down to business pretty fast once they had it. Yes,
for better or worse, I think. I don't know, like, I just, don't even care. It's like,
Man, that is lava! Like,
this is coming from somebody who...
There is no way that is not lava that you like.
I think I've drank this at some point, like this.
Okay, that's not lava. that orange, more orangey stuff is definitely
it's orange crush.
Yeah, orange crush.
So, you know, according to the DF Retro video,
right?
Like Bubsy was intended to. Merge like sort of more hidden sort of exploration type stuff from Mario with a faster speed of Sonic.
Yeah, I think like Super Mario World and games like that, mm-hmm. the exploration part, and then yeah, the speed of Sonic. I'd argue that like when people say the speed of Sonic, they mean Sonic 1, where speed is an element in the game, but it's not necessarily like the main.
Right, and that's what I like about feature. It. That's why I like 1.
Yeah,
more than I like.
I prefer 1 as well. More fan of Sonic 1 than 2.
Well, we were just talking earlier that, you know, neither of us are that big a Sonic fan.
I'm not really. I love the music generally.
Unlike John.
Yeah.
Corey's a fan of Sonic 1. But less
yeah,
so
Sonic
the later.
Yeah, Sonic 1 is the only one that I truly love.
You really liked Mania.
Mania was great, I thought.
And you like Sonic CD too.
Those
Yeah, I like Sonic CD a lot. Yeah.
I think most
but
people
once
prefer
it became...
Sonic.
I have more of a curiosity really for like the 3D Sonic games. Like not necessarily that they're good, but I don't know. I've just got like a curiosity.
Music is good in those too.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true.
What about like Sonic R?
Never played Sonic R.
It's actually, like, especially on Saturn, it's a really impressive game for the Saturn hardware.
I mean, I remember seeing it advertised at the time and thinking it looked good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I only had Nintendo consoles at the time. So,
yeah,
does collecting the balls of yarn benefit you during during play here?
No, it just gives you points.
So, do they even add up the one-ups? Like,
they're changing colors.
Really?
Does it matter? One-ups.
It's just points.
So, all these 11 lives, you've gotten those by collecting specific one-up items.
Yes, you have to get the shirts with the numbers on it. So, that's the one-ups. You can also pick up these you'll see these arrows.
We got a
$5
donation.
That's a continue.
I have a $5 donation from JF. He says, hey, when you guys do the Xbox episodes, they're going to cover Homebrew. It's an amazing scene. Also, not $500.
Well, thanks for getting back to us on that one.
There would definitely be more of a homebrew element in that one, especially since you can force more, I think.
It's been so long since I've looked at the homebrew menu, I can't really remember all the things you can do with it, but I'm sure there will be an element of that in the video, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see when that happens. Hopefully, I mean, I think that the episode today will be the first of us really, hitting a stride with our every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be wrapping up the Phantasy Star episode this week.
Sandy, don't
And then I'm actually going on vacation.
Bubsy Heavyweight Champion while he's Bubsy Heavyweight Championing.
It's okay. It's off season, so my game doesn't have to be, on point today. It would be interesting to see if it has its own animation, because most, there are, something like 30 different death animations in this game.
Really?
So...
That's quite elaborate.
It is quite elaborate. But I think you should have variety in how it can kill your character, so...
There will be a much longer episode, Phantasy Star episode, than I ever intended.
It's going to be close to an hour.
Yes, it's 50 minutes. Somehow it is 50 minutes. And it covers, it focuses on the original series. And just the different ways to play them. Think of our Castlevania Symphony of the Night and Dracula X video. It's going to be very similar to that, but for 4 games, and there's a lot more different versions. And we just got 2 donations. First off is Chris Broom, who donated $5. Thank you. Says, great episode today.
Thank you.
We're planning to revisit the Weird Controller series. The Mad Cats Dreamcast is great after an easy mod where you break the VMU clips. Yes, we will definitely be doing another third-party controllers. I am also planning on doing a first-party controllers episode, which I think is kind of fun, too. I mean, it's not weird stuff, but I mean, I think that there's a lot of unique first party controllers out there as well.
Yeah.
We got a 10R.
I think that's Reals.
Yeah. Real, so he's from Brazil then.
Yep.
I used to live in Brazil.
From Arthur Barros. Barros. Says.
Seems so inconsequential when there was no sound effects going along with bopping them. Are there any sound effects in general with the bopping?
Mm-hmm. So, on regular enemies, there are.
Yeah.
But on the bosses, there's none. It's very strange.
Yeah, it feels very weightless.
Kyosha LP, Johnny does not make an appearance in it. It's just me and Tribe. I think that I have no idea how it ended up being as long as it did. I kind of do a history of the series, kind of go through the original game's development, and I kind of touch on all of the spin-offs and sequels and stuff like that, remakes. I think just to be more complete, I just like even talk about stuff like Phantasy Star Online 2 and Phantasy Star Universe and stuff like that. Not for very long. I don't go through the different versions. Just it would be way too long to do that stuff. It's already long enough as it is. Saturn, Dreamcast. Then he kind of does all of the giant Genesis collections that these are part of in one little segment. And then we do like the Game Boy Advance. He does the Game Boy Advance. Then the M2 collection, then the Virtual Console. And then the new one. So it's really long. I think
shit,
the streamest thing is offline. Oh, there's streamers is resumed. Man, that's like, I wonder what's going on with your internet. Like, it did not.
Oh no, it's not like acting like it's that inconsistent on this end though. I don't know. I'm gonna have to ask them to run a new line. But it's gonna take forever for them to agree to do that.
Kyosho LP, yes. I do talk about all that stuff. Because, I mean, those are very, very good versions to play.
You missed a donation.
Oh, did I? We had a $2 donation from Bubba Matt 812, who says, most dumb, fun game.
Most fun.
They're stupid, but fun.
I mean, I could see this qualifying as one for sure.
It's called Bubsy Dumb.
now it's resumed. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
Did you turn off all your syncing and everything?
I didn't, but it shouldn't be doing anything. But I just now did that. We'll see if that helps. I mean, I forgot to do that in the past, and it's been fine.
I'm not seeing it. Like, it's not spinning or anything here. It's like, it's just. Back to. Yeah, I'm not seeing a break in it here. So.
Nice video on 3DS Video Opera. You gonna do one for the Vita too? Xperi has a hack for Vita that streams video to OBS Studio. Also use PS TV YHS look. I'm not familiar with that mod. I know that Katsukitty did have a Vita output mod. I mean, I haven't been too concerned with Vita output since there's the PlayStation TV, although that has limitations. You know, even if you were to like hack it, like, you know, you'll never have a true touchscreen on it, so that can be problematic. I don't necessarily have an intention to follow up with a Vita video specifically like that, but I have for a long time intended to do a video that's like PSP and Vita combined. I mean, an RGB 200 on those. I mean, this 3DS video was not an RGB 200.
Yeah, it's not an RGB episode.
No, it's not an RGB episode. So I do plan to do Vita, I mean, well, PSP plus Vita on an RGB 200, but it's definitely not my next immediate priority for RGB 200. But I do want to do that. I feel like there's a lot I still kind of need to learn.
A lot of people are talking about the fact that Dave is leaving GameSack in here. People were asking why, and I mean, it's just because he wants to spend more time with his family.
I mean, I'm sure it's like, it's quite a commitment to play all those games and write those reviews.
Yeah, I mean, and he did it for 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's actually kind of ironic that we released our 3DS video today, because didn't GameSack start like the week the 3DS came out?
The day it came out.
Really? That's very coincidental. but I mean, you know, that's a long time for him to give that kind of commitment.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can understand, you know, I'm just feeling like.
He said he's just burned out. He wasn't like feeling the passion for it anymore. And like, I think that totally makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, get, I mean, get out while you're, you know, while you're. You know, still
happy.
Yeah.
Like, well, you still like it.
Yeah.
I guess.
But, you know, I think Joe has said, you know, he wants to take this on as a new challenge, and I'm sure he's going to do excellent on his own.
Oh yeah, I mean,
it'll be a little different for sure, but.
But he says, you know, this is a good chance for him to kind of do things, certain subjects that Dave didn't really have a place in, that he was more, you know, like he did like a modding episode several years ago where Dave didn't really have anything to do in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So he can kind of do some of that stuff. But yeah, on the flip side, I mean, we have kind of made a decision to make like most, if not episodes, be something that we both. But now we're gonna be appearing like you're doing like half of the Fantasy Star episode, which would like generally be thought of as something that I would do.
It's like the part that like I can do. You know, this like yes. talking about the different ports and stuff that, you know, it would be disingenuous for me to talk about the content of the games themselves because I've only played through the first one right. so far.
And that's what a lot of people, I think, had talked about. You know, that we've kind of gotten into this into a routine with our show where I'll kind of give like a general overview and then you like give certain things. And you know, I think that's a good flow because, I mean, you're way better at writing that kind of stuff, anyways. Like it just flows more naturally, you know, from your brain. And I'm always second guessing myself. And I think that's good though. I mean, I think that's good for. It just like gives us like a better flow and. I think that it's a good thing for us to, you know, take advantage of the fact that there are two of us.
Right. And, you know, that's also played into the video production process we've tried to do lately where, you know, we provide as much material as we possibly can for the episode that the other person is editing.
Right.
And
that just, like, that makes it a lot
easier. It makes the editing process much more fun, I think.
Yeah,
to be provided.
You don't have to stop and go, I need to go get this shot.
Right, and it gives you things that you didn't expect to get, and so it lets you be more creative, I think.
Yes, absolutely, and you start, yeah. So that's going to be happening a lot more. As soon as you finish with this, the modder doc is like when I think we're going to be switching over to basically doing everything like that. You know, every episode will be us both either providing the other person all the material or material like as it goes on, or we'll be like even like what we did with the Mega SG where one of us where we each like edit
our own segments. Yeah.
Although I mean you did a portion of mine because
well,
I was
only because gonna be, logistically was, yeah, we had to.
Yeah.
So what does the black Bubsy do or the shadow Bubsy?
So shadow Bubsy just makes you invincible. Basically.
It's an interesting invincibility concept, but it also yeah. makes sense.
I think it's pretty cool. Like, they should have made Shadow Bubsy, like, the enemy in the second game or something. I'm sure somewhere in my elementary school diary, there's, like, some fan fiction with Shadow Bubsy. Or erotic fiction, I forget.
I have not gotten any new soundtracks on vinyl. I was thinking about getting that Thunder Force 4 one, but I mean, I'm like way behind on a lot of that stuff. I didn't even get any of the Castlevania ones. I mean, I have Castlevania 3, but I didn't get the Rondo of Blood or Symphony of the Night that Mondo did.
Oh, we got a $5 from Ooh. Retro Junk. Thank you. Enjoy Thank the episode you. Today. You guys make any subject entertaining. Just curious. When do you think you guys will start working on the Wii 200 episode? Originally, I had wanted to do the Wii 200 episode in the spring. and I feel like it's going to be tough to squeeze in. Also, I feel like I'm going to be working on some of the documentary stuff that we shot last year is my main priority right now. But at some point, I may also have to squeeze in. I feel like it's pretty important to do an episode on the GBA Consolizer.
Yes, because that's going to be out.
That's going to be pretty soon. So, that's kind of teased in the 3DS video. And I feel like it's really important to get that episode out soon-ish. So we'll see. I'm definitely going to prioritize GBA Consolizer. I mean, we've already obviously done a Game Boy video, but the GBA Consolizer will be a 300. But I'm going to prioritize that. Like, that will definitely come before the Wii episode. But then that will probably be like the next big technical video that I'll do after GBA Consolizer. But for now, the documentary stuff is a priority, but hopefully I'll get far along in that and maybe even get at least half of that done and then focus on the Consolizer. We'll see. I don't think the Consolizers can be like, there was a first wave, but I don't think you can actively order one yet. So, but I'd like to have that available like around the time that like the next wave comes out, so that people who are interested can check out what I can do. I have not had like a ton of hands-on time with it yet, but I mean, what I have experienced so far has been very, very good.
Michael's Workshop, we do not need any more VHS tapes.
I was telling Adi that story earlier today, because he was asking, how did you get so many PVMs? So I told him the story of the 700 VHS tapes. This is, one of the highlights of my life.
The 700 VHS
tapes? Yes, we have almost 800 VHS tapes in my attic in the other room. So we definitely we have more than we'll ever need at this point. I do appreciate it, though.
That's what you say now in 2019. And like 2039, you'll be like, man, what I would give for some VHS. We won't have any VHS players that work in 2039, though.
Yeah.
You think so?
Well, I mean, my VHS situation is really bad right now. I know Corey has a gigantic VHS deck that he's going to give me. Are you going to bring that when you come in May, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, because last time I had to do some VHS stuff, it was difficult. Oh, Sandy sees those rolling boulders.
Oh, I found a cache of them in a storage locker. How many were they?
So this is a different type of boss, the UFO. I mean, concept is pretty much the same, but it's never good when you actually drop down.
Oh yeah, you lost your groove there.
A little bit, but we'll get back.
He takes more hits than you think.
It takes 4 hits.
Oh, but it's just like they're not precise.
Yeah. So the hitboxes are a little bit tricky.
Oh, hundreds of them. Yes. That'd be cool, but my wife would lose her mind if hundreds of more VHS tapes showed up. The Double Dragon fan game that remakes Return of Double Dragon fixed most of the issues. I'm surprised that Return of Double Dragon video still gets comments every once in a while. That's like such an early video for us, and I do feel that I do appreciate the game more than. Is there a is it like a hack of it? If it's a hack and it's something I can play like on a on like an SD to SNES, I would definitely do that. I'm working on something that it would fit in as well. Working on an episode that it would work in there.
So why can Bubsy glide?
I think it's because of his shirt.
Ah.
Just one of those glide shirts.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't think too much about it.
So, I mean, he would lose all his powers, I guess.
It's one of those questions, like, in video games, like, why does Mario wear pants? It's mm-hmm. like, do you need the answer?
I mean, you know, the opening to Bubsy 3D is, like, it's very, like, extensive exposition.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, that I honestly felt really bad for the Woolies.
So, I see.
I mean, you know, what did they deserve, you know, to have Bubsy attack their homeland?
Well, they tried to attack his homeworld twice, technically. Well, second game isn't really Woolies, so I guess once, but it should be said that the second game of the series is terrible.
I'm pretty sure that's probably the only one I've... Well, no, I think they had one set up in Funko Land. Either a Super Nintendo or
Genesis. I'm not sure how many moderators are in the chat right now, but I want to tell... I have a message for the moderators that I want you to put anybody into a timeout or mute all their messages with extreme prejudice if they... are putting anything about Game of Thrones in there. I will not tolerate it. And if it's going to get ruined for me, I'm going to make sure that it doesn't get ruined for anybody else in this chat.
I feel like I haven't heard a lot of Game of Thrones talk lately.
Somebody just said that somebody died. I don't know if it's a... Because the season premiere, it's the final season in the show, like the first episode is premiering tonight.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
And it's the final season, and not only that, but it's been like it's been like 2 years or something like that.
A year and a half since the
last. Yeah, last season is like 6 episodes, but every episode is like a movie.
Oh wow. Yeah, I was thinking it'd been a while since I'd heard people talking about that show.
Yeah. So I won't... There's...
Yeah, spoilers are not, not tolerated.
Yes.
I didn't realize we had moderators.
I got it. Got our guy, Retro Morgan, is taking care of it.
I obviously have not been on the setup end of that.
No, I went through him.
Oh. Looked like some high level strats there.
Yeah, really, I actually screwed up. We'll see.
He like sinks to the bottom and goes bah.
I have to go up here.
I mean, probably when the last episode is on, it's probably like I probably won't stream that. I'll probably have to watch it as it's on. Because it's like, seriously, it is. I won't be able to watch it until tomorrow after my kids go to bed. You know, because my wife and I both watch it, and we got to wait for that. So I got to stay like off of Twitter. I got to stay off of every like bit of social media tomorrow. For the next however long. Oh, speaking of which, like I won't be on stream next week either, just so you know.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm gonna be in Myrtle Beach. My dad has set up like a family vacation. We're going down there for 5-6 days.
Sandy, if you want me to throw any toys, you have to bring them.
We don't have any contact with Casa Kitty at all. I mean, we just met him that one time, and then he disappeared. He's gone now.
Did anyone, I wonder if anyone, like, realized that Jimmy Hoffa is in the episode. You can actually see him in the shot. Like, he's, like, actually kind of turned around looking back to, like, make sure you're, like, keeping up with us. In the shot that's, like, behind me, like, walking through Akihabara. He's there, and then you can also kind of see him in the shop shots. The Katsukiri shop. Yeah, we have, you know, I mean, we didn't establish a relationship with Katsukiri when we were there. Like, I mean, you know, Jimmy did all the talking. You know, I emailed him to, like, set up, because you had to, like, set up an appointment if you were going to do it in the shop. So I did that, but, you know, we... Other than telling him we were planning to make a video on it at some point, you know, we didn't, you know, we told him that when we left. He's like, oh, I'm looking forward to it, or something. But obviously that didn't happen until he was out of business, sadly.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a 999 from Franklin Brown. Thank you, saying that experiencing my first playthrough of Mario Sunshine, it's good with some frustrating moments. What are y'all's thoughts on Sunshine? P.S. What's up with Dave leaving GameStack? Mario Sunshine is like, I mean, it's definitely like the black sheep of the...
3D Marios.
Of the 3D Marios. I like it, but you're right. It does have frustrating moments.
I didn't like it because of that. Especially the purely 2D platform, or not the 2D platform.
Oh, I love those. Those are one of my favorite parts of the game.
I mean, I wonder if I would like it now, but this is coming from, and maybe it's because I hadn't played Mario 64 before that.
Really?
I mean, I played it like a little bit, but not even like a full level.
It's a good. The worst thing about the game is the blue coins, because there's no clear way to track. There's no clear way to track how many are left in this area or that area, if I recall. And there's, like, a lot of hidden shines that aren't trackable.
God damn it.
Well, GameStacks, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they had a good run. I mean, it's still going to be a thing.
I mean, Joe makes 90% of the show anyways.
Right, I mean, he's the editor, he's the video guy. I mean, Dave was, you know, a co-host and co-personality and co-reviewer, and, you know, he captured his footage at home. But, I mean, Joe is the editor.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
he's doing...
I think less is going to change about the show than you think. I mean... You know, yeah, for example, the Mega SG video was all Joe. That, you know, that was a very GameSacky episode, I thought, you know?
Yeah.
How to clean your stupid games. That, you know, I mean, stuff like that, you know, that it's not going to go away because of No Dave. And, you know, and not to say that is, you know, like, I mean, Dave added a lot to the show, obviously. But I think Joe is going to find new ways to make it engaging for people.
Yeah, I mean he's gonna get to do some cool stuff.
I mean he's probably
couldn't, and I think that it's gonna be interesting, you know, and you know like there's a lot of challenges that I mean even though he pretty much does everything anyways.
Mm-hmm.
On the show, it's a different thing when you have to capture all the video and, you know, I think that's something that we've been lucky enough to, when we need footage of something, it's like, oh, can you get something like this for me? It's, I mean, some of these, some people that do shows all by themselves, I have no idea how they can do that all by themselves. It's crazy. Right.
I mean, we've only gotten as far as we have.
I mean, at least people that do shows all by themselves and capture all their footage. Because, I mean, there's definitely a lot of shows out there, I think, that just download playthroughs, too. But, I mean, I think, like, that's one of the reasons our stuff takes so long a lot of times, is because we capture all of our game footage. Once we announce that we're done with the show, I don't see that happening anytime soon. And not only that, but I mean, we don't have to like get together to do our show, anyways.
Anyone know anything about Croc 2? Saw a little game store for $8. I really liked what I played of Croc on the PSIO. I've kind of got an eye out for it now. I saw the Saturn version today, but I'm pretty sure the PS1 version is better, so I'm going to hold out to look for that one. Just based on very light play, I thought Croc 1 seemed more interesting. But it seemed like it. I mean, I like platformers, you know? So it just seems like a fun little game.
Well, you know the background of Croc, right?
Yeah, I mean, I learned that relatively recently, but right. Yeah, I mean, it was pitched to Nintendo as a Yoshi game.
Yeah.
Before, like, I think before, like, they made, I don't even know if they were working on Mario 64 yet, you know?
Sure about that,
but it was definitely a, you know, an early game from figuring out how 3D platformers would work, and I thought it felt like it it was more fun than I thought it would be. Sandy,
the levels, they start to they look pretty samey.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Does this game have unlimited continues?
No. So you have to pick up your continues. There are one continue to find per world.
Oh, okay.
So it can be a bit challenging.
Have you been picking those up?
Yes. I only have 3, I believe. So.
How far into the game are we?
I'd say we're about halfway.
Oh, wow. So this is pretty long.
Yes.
Longer than you would think.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't see past the roller coaster stage usually, so. Mm.
Retro Gaming Systems Collectioner is asking when we're going to do an episode on the Thunder Force series. And the first one, and the first 2, 3, 4, 5, the Legacy and Langley of the collection. I'm not familiar with. You mean the gold pack 1 and 2.
And then I saw Lightning Force today. It was pretty expensive.
It's up there now.
Is that, that's 3, right?
It's 4.
4, okay. That's the one that looks so good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really, really good looking game.
Got that cloud stage over the ocean.
You mean Lightning Force.
Lightning Force. This is my childhood SNES, by the way. This is the soft SNES we're playing on.
Yeah, I keep my childhood SNES.
I had it hooked up for some reason. Now. I don't remember what that was.
If I need something that's like a bit clearer, then I'll use the Super NT for that.
Let me go to the bathroom.
Which, if you fall too far down, you actually die from that too. So you have to use your glide efficiently.
Oh, okay. So there's fall damage, huh?
Yeah. Oh, this game's got everything.
That is not something you'd expect from something from a game like this.
No.
I seen the Thunder Force 4 originally from Die Hard Gamers Club and do have a cassette of it. But I don't know where my video cassette is. This footage was taken from a CES. Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, if you ever find that, I'd love to digitize it. Kitty, come here. Not Bubsy. My cat's coming to see me. Come here. Come on. You gonna come up here? She's been asleep in the other room all day. So I went to this benefit for my daughter's school last night, and they had karaoke with a live band. It was kind of cool.
Did you end up singing?
I did not. The spots fill up too fast, for one thing. I see. But yeah, it was cool though. I mean, but I gotta tell you, like I cannot drink like at all. Like if I drink, like it's like I'm going to feel like horrible the next day, no matter what.
Well, I'm Norwegian.
It's not intentional. Do, so. Do I smoke? No, I used to. I've been quit for 10 years though.
Oh, good.
It was 10 years in February. I've been quit longer than I smoked for. Oh, she's like headbutting and rubbing her head on the microphone.
I think something spooked Sandy in the grass earlier.
Oh, really?
So I think she might need to go to the bathroom again, actually. I don't think... did you not finish, Sandy? Did you not finish? The other thing is she might want to just play with the mayflies or whatever they are.
The mayflies? What are those?
Well, I don't know if they're technically mayflies, but they're just like those like very large, like kind of like giant mosquito-y looking bugs. They only live like a very short while. She loves them.
Enigma Records, it took many attempts before it eventually stuck, but I was able to do it. I quit cold turkey. It was pretty challenging, for sure. I still occasionally like to walk behind people when they're smoking, and I'm like, oh,
this is how it felt like.
Yeah, or just you know, there's something, there's the smell of it, which I mean, I think a lot of people are like, oh, are you serious? Ugh. But, you know, that's part of, I guess, being an addict like that.
Yeah, I never smoked cigarettes, so. But My family did, so I do know it's a struggle to quit. So.
Well, it's, I mean, smoking, especially in Norway, it was pretty. I mean, it was a lot of people smoke in Norway.
I mean, back in, now it's very strict. You can't smoke anywhere in public. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no.
Oh, did you get a game over?
No, I didn't get a game over. I just came to the most annoying boss in the game, basically. But we did well.
Darius Truxton, you're saying Player's Choice in Myrtle Beach? Is that a game store? Because I don't know if you heard, I'm going to Myrtle Beach for a family vacation, and I would love to find a game store in Myrtle Beach to stop by.
Oh, she's back again.
Rush Arcade in Myrtle Beach Mall. Okay. Is there any good game stores you can recommend there? I haven't been to Myrtle Beach since, in college probably.
Oh no.
Since I want to say probably like 1998 is probably when I went.
So one thing about this game that is good is that every enemy you kill actually stays gone if you lose your life.
Oh, that's cool.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually very impressive. That's, I mean, it doesn't happen if you lose a life, but that's something that's always impressed me with Ninja Gaiden 3.
Right.
Like, every enemy stays dead in a room, like, even as you go back and forth, which is, like, stark contrast to that, because that game is, the series up to that point is notorious for, you know, edge-spawning enemies and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh, we got a $1 from Rad B Show with no comment, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, well, I'm gonna check out, so it's called Player's Choice. I'm going to make a note of that. I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about going to game stores in Myrtle Beach.
See, that stuff that's like red and yellow mixed together, that's definitely lava.
You think so?
Yes. I think it is. I think it's blood.
With yellow
from
in it?
From his enemies.
Yeah, it's those are all the blood of his victims.
Well, you were telling me earlier that the Bubsy Super Famicom manual like tells you all about what the Bobcat does and what the Bobcat
eats.
Yeah,
it's strange. So like, this game got a full localization to Japanese. Well, I mean by that, it's not, they didn't just translate the game into Japanese. They also changed all the references and all the stage introductions. The voices are in Japanese, which you would not really expect from a game like this. So, yeah, it's an entirely different thing, almost. It does retain a little bit of the humor, but actually plays itself more straight than this game does. So it puts the box, for example, puts a lot of emphasis that this is an exploration platformer.
Okay.
So, which the American box really doesn't.
Do you think that he's marketed more as being like a cute animal in Japan rather than like, you know, a Tude era mascot?
Right, because the Tude thing didn't really exist in Japan at the same time. So if you watched the DF Retro episode I did with John, we actually brought my Super Famicom box. It's very hard to get today. But if you look at that box art, it's actually a brand new box art for it with like a cute Bubsy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's like a... Like Spyro and Crash were redesigned for the Japanese boxes as well.
Yeah, kind of like that. So.
Apparently, I heard that like Spyro's specific color is like, they changed Spyro's shade of purple a little bit because apparently like, I heard that like that shade of purple is like associated with like death or something in Japan.
Oh really? I haven't heard that, but.
Yeah, his purple is a little bit different. I don't know much details about that, but I heard that.
Which game is it that, like, I think it's Ratchet & Clank where they change his eyebrows? They're, like, thicker in the Japanese version?
I think the artwork is hand-drawn for the Japanese artwork for Ratchet & Clank, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think in-game they actually changed the thickness of his eyebrows.
I wonder what that's supposed to mean.
Someone probably can.
Oh, hey, we've got a rare Sophia, like an almost full body Sophia cameo on stream. Over
yeah,
here.
She's all about it tonight. it's a very rare occurrence. This is definitely her longest amount of time on camera ever.
Sandy is just being rowdy tonight. Having guests over gets her riled up.
Yeah. So when I'm there, we'll get to do a stream too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Should
I mean maybe we'll do some extra streams just for fun.
Yeah.
I never really streamed much before, like, the last few months now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still getting kind of used to that. Keep talking while you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough. Like, we try not stream games that require a lot of, like, paying attention to, like, story and reading and stuff like that.
You got a $7.77 donation from Seven Kurgan, who said, can you guys recommend a good new third-party S-Video cable for the N64?
I have not bought S-Video cables for N64 in a long time. I don't know if anyone is making new ones currently.
Yeah, I have no idea. Well, thank you.
I feel like I heard... You know, someone that makes cables maybe was thinking about it, but I could be wrong. I don't remember if I'm not sure if I'm remembering that right or not, so I wouldn't want to say.
We got a $5 donation from JF. Thank you. He says, you two have the personality of elementary teacher. Please never swear. we take a lot of pride in the
our show. We were just talking about this earlier today too.
It's very important to us, especially for me. You know, I say that I want to make a show that is not going to embarrass my kids one day. Although, like, that's probably impossible at this point. Like,
they'll be embarrassed no matter what you do.
Yeah,
they'll probably be embarrassed that you don't swear.
Probably.
But, you know, you in particular get, you know, feel your heart melts when we're at conventions and, like, you know, the parents walk up to you with their kids and are like, you know, we watch your show together.
Yeah, well, I that stuff is...
That's like really your favorite thing.
Yeah. Because I just want to make something that, like, parents can watch for their kids. I mean, even though it's, like, I think that a lot of the things that we talk about isn't the most exciting for kids. But you never know.
You're saying kids aren't interested in S-Video cables? I beg to differ.
Yeah, they probably watch it because they like the noise it makes when we plug the cables in.
Well, you know, honestly, like, to be, you know, some of the younger people who leave comments and ask questions, like, you know, some of them actually do have CRTs, you know, because they are interested in retro gaming, right? or they're interested in getting a better way to hook up an N64 or something to an HDTV. And I do, you know, like, say, like, you know, hey, like, look into, like, the RetroTINK or something and with an S-Video cable, because, like, that's, you know... especially for a younger person getting into it, like, that's a better, that's a good starting point.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
But I saw someone asking, does SVO still deal with the Chrono Cross issue? Yeah, the issue is with how digital TVs work. Like, they just have to, they have to think about it when the content changes. Now, HDMI 2.1, has specs for a feature called I forget exactly what it's called, but in theory it's supposed to add allow for like instant content changing. So it's possible in the future that people that like there might be like a maybe there will be a new OSSC that supports HDMI 2.1, for example, and right. that would probably fix that issue. But I mean, hey, that's just speculation at this point. You know, that could be a very long way off, or it could never happen. Oh, Retro Junk is 22 and has a CRT in his room because of us. So if you're 22, I mean, you were born late 90s. I mean, you probably had CRTs at home growing up for a little while, though.
When did HDTVs kind of become the norm? Like 2006?
I don't think so, really. I mean, they I think that's when adoption started started happening more heavily.
Right.
Yeah, I want to say like 2008-ish.
Right, I guarantee when the PS3 came out, a majority of people who bought it were not playing it in HD.
Right.
I mean, it shipped. It shipped with composite. And
definitely not the right.
And the Wii, you know, I mean, Nintendo made their bet on the fact that, you know, hey, HD TV adoption is not where it needs to be to justify making an HD console. And, you know, whether you agree with that decision or not, I do think, at least for several years into the generation, they had a fair point. I mean, I would say that it was really between probably 2006 and 2009 that it really took off. Is what it feels like. But it's so crazy to think of how long CRTs were the norm, and how, you know, people think of a TV as something they have for years and years and years and years, and how quickly that change happened to where CRTs become this obscure thing. It's amazing how quick that happened. Paul Bergkamp bought an HDTV in 2018, got rid of his flip phone in 2015. you know, you weren't too far behind me getting rid of a flip phone. I resisted smartphones for a long time. I mean, there's no going back, but and yeah. I do like this having a smartphone, but I was actually kind of on HDTV earlier. And it really made sense to, mostly because I don't think I really understood like the benefits of the technology too much at the time. I just wanted a really big CRT, mostly because of the black levels.
Right.
So I got like an HD CRT, but I didn't even get a PS3 until, I mean, I thought about getting a 360 for a long time, but I didn't get one until just a few years ago. You know, during the generation, when I realized like the Wii was not going to be enough, I ended up getting a PS3 in 2008. So that was the first I was able to use HD. And then when I got an LCD in 2010, like, I mean, it was only a 32-inch, but for PS3 games, it was a big upgrade because of, you know, just that fixed pixel display. Like, it even for 720p PS3 games, it displayed a lot more detail. Hmm. At the time, I thought retro games looked fine on it. that TV ghosts a lot, though. It's at my parents' house, so I sometimes bring systems there to play on it. It's pretty. That one's pretty ghosty these days.
The levels in this game are huge.
They really are. So you can kind of understand why in the Japanese version they banked on like this exploration.
Mm-hmm, thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think you can appreciate the game if you don't take it too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you're taking it somewhat fast.
Somewhat. But, you know, I like to play dangerous.
I think it's hard to get out of that mindset of, especially with games nowadays, that you're used to progressing so quickly. right. like going back that you forget that it's better to kind of take your time.
Mm-hmm.
On a side note, I guess I talked about it in this week's video log, but people were asking me last week about it, but so I did begin to learn how to solder.
Yeah, I mean, you jumped right on that.
Well, I did, and I kind of got into it. I changed out batteries from 26 of my game cartridges.
How quickly can you do the whole process from picking up the game bit to screwing the whole back end? Like, how long do you think it takes you at this point?
Like 3 or 4 minutes probably.
You were saying that you feel like it's relaxing.
It is. It's like this. I'm sure there's like really high stress mods, and this is not something that's very stressful. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like, I thought it was just kind of fun once I got into it.
Like, so you want to do a video that's all about preserving saves.
Yes.
And moving saves from platform to platform, such as Virtual Console to cartridge, cartridge to EverDrive, yes. EverDrive to cartridge, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Which
that's
I wonder, hope. You know, like for both of us, I mean, we played a lot of Virtual Console games. I mean, that can be kind of relevant to us. I don't know how much demand there is for that, but if people still have their Virtual Console saves, like, you know, that they might want to put that on a real cartridge. I do.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's... Tomorrow's going to be the big test. I bought a Retrode 2, and I had that on the way, and if I can use that... If that... I have SRAM... saves from Super Nintendo games that I bought on Virtual Console that I was able to extract from the saves. And if I can get those SRAM files to go right on the cartridge, like that's going to be, it's going to be awesome. Because the SC to SNES sees those saves. And if I can get them to go back on the cartridge, that's going to be awesome. I'm going to be... That's exactly what I'm hoping for, is to be able to do that with Genesis and Super NES games and N64. Like, I would love it, because I played through Paper Mario that way. So I mean that's the goal. I mean, it's gonna be kind of a I guess it's more of a specific thing, but I think that it's kind of fun, you know, like I can do something on just like the whole process of changing the battery, but also how you can change the battery in certain games if you don't want to lose the save, which is something that I tried today and did not succeed at. I did it on a game that I had a save in it, but I was okay if I lost it, and that was the Illusion of Gaia, because I dumped the save already from my Super NT.
I saw someone ask a bit higher up, you know, speaking of video logs, when are we going to see my setup? There's a few systems that I'm kind of planning to move where they are soon, and I need to run a few wires to change a few things I want to change, but I can probably do that soon. I just need to spend a day making those setup tweaks happen. but yeah, I'm.
Oh, you want to do? Somebody wants you to do like kind of a
an updated room tour for me, which has changed a ton since that initial tour video. Yeah. I was going to say something else. I lost my train of thought.
Well, Retro Gaming Systems Collectioner, I wouldn't send me your Neo Geo AES home system to fix. I would be terrified to do that. Like, I would rather start with this. And the next thing I'm kind of thinking about doing is taking... So my childhood Master System has the dark video output. I'm kind of thinking about taking the FM mod that I have in that and putting into another master system that I've gotten that has a brighter output on it. So I was thinking about moving that over to like the out of my childhood system and into that. So that might be the next thing that I do, because I guess that's not a very difficult thing either. But for now, like the battery thing has been a lot of fun, and since I started doing it,
That looks kind of glitchy. I wonder if it's something to do with the SG2 SNES.
But I mean, I don't know. There's just something about it that I thought I feel is a lot of fun. And if I can get these saves,
well, is this the last world? This looks like the last world. This is the last world.
Maybe I could do like a daytime if I receive the Retrode in time. If it's like earlier in the day, maybe I'll do a little stream, see if it works.
So before the stream, we were doing the local game store rounds, and one of my local stores, Video Game World, I guess they said this happened back in February, which I felt like I'd been there more recently than that, but they said, oh, I think this might happen like a day or two after you were here last. There's a literal witchcraft store next door. And there was a fire there.
Oh, geez.
Like, they probably won't be able to use the office that's kind of connected to the store anymore, they said. Like, it smelled kind of funny in there still, too. I was just like, that's creepy that there was a fire at a witchcraft store. Of all things. But it sounds like they didn't... Yeah, you know, luckily didn't lose any merchandise. They're like right across the street from the fire station, they said.
This does not look like Wooly's Strike Back.
This is claws and counters
of the very kind.
Yes, there we go.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna fix anybody else's systems or games yet. I mean, I barely have enough time to do this, but I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, I did the first. So I'm attempting to swap out all the batteries in all my games. So everything that I've done so far was all stuff that either had dead batteries already or stuff that I didn't care about at all, or were just like empty in the first place. What's kind of interesting though is a lot of early Super NES games have capacitors in there, so you don't lose the saves right away. And some NES games, like Zelda 1 has it, and so does Zelda 3. So does Mario World has a capacitor in there that if you change the battery fast enough, you won't lose your saves.
That's weird that their space helmet has like a flat top. Or if that was dumb because of like sprite size limitation.
Could be.
That seems weird rather than just redesign the enemy.
So you were a little nervous about this episode because you're afraid people are going to be.
I felt like I gave a lot of disclaimers as to why I bought the thing, because I felt like a lot of people were going to be like saying I was like an idiot for buying the Raspberry Pi. But I mean, I thought it was just like such a good idea that it's weird that you can download the software on the Murky website. I didn't even know about Murky at the time. Something that
he also commented on the video, by the way. He showed up in the comments. I pinned his comment.
Oh, really? Okay. I haven't seen the comments since like 11 a.m. That's interesting that they commented. In sort of the Loopy versus Katsukitty debates, something that I kept seeing come up was that apparently Katsukitty's software had DRM, but like what you can download from Murky's website doesn't seem to have any DRM unless it's like recognizing some sort of like unique code in your capture hardware. But I was able to download the Murky stuff and just, I've not tried doing it on the Raspberry Pi because I'm like, I don't know anything about Raspberry Pis and I'm terrified of like doing something that I'm not going to be able to just get it working again. But I downloaded the Murky software for the Raspberry Pi just to be safe. I mean, it's the same software. I think he told me.
Records. I'm going to write that down. I just want to acknowledge that he says something about backup shell. I'll look that up. I'm making lots of notes.
But But like that's where I got the Katsukitty viewer software was from the Murky website, because I never bothered to download it when I got the. Oh, is this the final boss?
This is the final boss.
Oh my gosh.
It's stupidly difficult if you don't get the right pattern like there.
Uh-oh.
We'll get it though. Yeah.
But yeah, like I think I had some information for how to download the Katsukitty software, but I just never bothered because I had the Raspberry Pi. But then, like when Katsukitty went away, was like gone, I like went to the website and I'm like, oh my gosh, like nothing even exists here. There we go. Did anyone ever think you would see Bubsy, Claws and Coward of the Furred Kind,
beaten
on the My Life in Gaming stream? There you go, people. Well, I win, I win. Well, I guess you helped.
We all helped.
We all helped, yes. All 277 of you in the chat.
Are you kidding? Enigma Records, yeah. Send us. Like, you
no,
can send
277
yeah.
people watching. I just Twitter. Watched you beat Bubsy, Claws and Coward of the Furred Kind.
Man. I'd love to hear more about it. Another thing, if you have any information on it, I'd love to hear about the unworked designs hacks as well, if you know anything about those.
All right, so
I'm assuming the actual ending. Continue. Oh, man.
It was all just a show.
Ah. BB.
I'll be right back. I gotta use the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Michael Berlin. I actually got to meet him a few years ago. Very nice guy. Well, many years ago by now. So, Cynthia Kirkpatrick, as you can see there, produced by, she actually took over the series with Bubsy 2
and
Bubsy Fairy Tales on Atari Jaguar. So, Michael Berlin didn't really have much to do with the series until Bubsy 3D again. Mm-hmm. So, and you watched the video, obviously, but as me and John talked about on DF Retro, Michael Berlin was kind of like one of the first storytellers in video games. He did all these text adventures.
Yeah.
So he was part of the people that started Infocom back then. So if you're old enough to remember that, then you're pretty old. But yeah, it's kind of interesting to see where he went from there, because he was very much an adventure, text adventure guy. Didn't really have much interest in intricate design, video game design, but then he played Super Mario, which is, this is the future, let's do this. And Bubsy came out of that.
There you go. I mean, he had nothing better to do.
That's true, but by 1993, you could say that the text adventure was pretty much dead in the U.S. at least. In Japan, it was doing well with visual novels, but for us, yeah. I do remember playing a lot of text adventures on Commodore 64, so it was a genre back then that I kind of enjoyed, but Super Nintendo probably not the best console for text adventures.
All right, we're gonna do a quick run of Cybernator?
We should.
Let's do it. Let's use the real cart for that.
Assault Suit Vulcan.
Assault Suit Vulcan, my favorite game on the Super Nintendo.
It's a great game.
It is a great game.
How did you feel about the remake of Lanos?
Yeah, I was telling Tri about that earlier. I have some connection to the whole creation of that game. I won't go into that on this stream, but I was very happy with Lanos and how it turned out. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, it took. I mean, I always called it Target Earth.
You Target know, Earth, yep.
But it was so extraordinarily hard, and my friends and I accidentally sat on the second player controller one time, and am I echoing? Am I too close? Maybe. So it enabled the invincibility.
Oh, right.
I love it. So it's really cool because I think it takes a lot of the best aspects of Cybernator of Vulcan and applies it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes the gameplay of this basically.
Yeah.
And you know.
Well, as you know now.
Like, yeah.
There's a reason for that, but I always prefer the Japanese version of this game simply because in-game they took out the portraits when people talk.
Oh yeah, and there's no connection. There's no like.
There's no reason for this.
Yeah, there's no like connection to the characters or story whatsoever. It is very strange. Is the Japanese version expensive?
That was about the same price-ish now as the American version. And
there's a fan translation for it, too.
There is,
which is well worth playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, yeah. That's the kind of things I'm interested in, I guess, when it comes to hacks and stuff that I like.
Like restorations.
Restorations,
yeah. And those are the kind of things that I, like, those are the kind of hacks that I really find a lot of value in.
Yeah. At home, I actually have the Lanos model in, like, a big...
Oh! Kit.
Really?
Yeah. So, I have that one for Lanos and one for Vulcan.
It's weird.
This is, like, this is a series. I think I told you this. I've wanted to do a series for a long
megasode?
Time.
Yeah, we were talking about... Yeah, I was talking about sending you some stuff for that. I do have some unseen stuff from the series that has never been unearthed.
Really?
So I mean, I would have to send that your way.
Yes, I would be really, really interested because there's.
Sandy,
yeah, I mean, and also
expert cybernator.
There's been a number of games inspired by these too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was telling them you were playing a Gigantic Battle the other week.
Or Gigantic Army.
Yeah.
That's an all right game. It, very clearly inspired by this.
Yeah.
I am going to do a Napalm run, for time purposes.
Yeah, it's 10:49.
Yeah. I mean, didn't, like, the director for this just went and did Gun Hazard, right?
Yeah, so the team actually that worked on this got brought in by Square to do Gun Hazard, Front Mission spinoff, which is an excellent game.
Yeah.
So that's an action game spinoff?
Yeah, so it's placed exactly like this.
I don't know much about Front Mission at all, actually. That's one Square Enix series or Squaresoft series that I've never really looked into that much. I mean, I would probably like them, but I've just not looked into them much.
Do you like strategy games in general, though? Like strategy RPG?
I do. I mean, I like Fire Emblem and Advance Wars.
Right.
I like... I don't like the original Final Fantasy Tactics that much, but I like the advanced games, which may not be as popular of an opinion.
I love the music and
Tactics. So. Oh, yeah. I don't consider myself, like, heavily into strategy games, right. But, you know, I like them.
I really love a series called Langerizer.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, I think it was War Song in the U.S. on the Genesis, was it? It was localized.
I'm not sure. Was it localized? Most of the games in that series are not localized.
They're not though. Localized. Well, the first one I do believe came out as War Song on the Genesis.
Yep.
That's the title? Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got another $5 from JF saying a public service announcement. Princess Crown and Sakura Taisen Saturn versions, fan translations, are due out this year according to the creators. I assume you mean the fan translation creators, not the game creators. Yeah. That's cool. I really want to play Princess Crown. Yeah. That's kind of expensive, though, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a really good game.
Yeah. That's Vanillaware's first game, right?
Yeah.
Well,
what would become of Vanillaware?
Right, yeah. I mean, that was not officially Vanillaware then. Like, is it...
Yeah.
It's kind of a... I've always been under the impression it's a separate entity.
Yeah, I guess so, technically.
Yeah, but it was George Kitani?
Mm-hmm. Kamatani or something like that. Yeah. But since you're playing this, speaking of Messiah, like there's that reprint of Glaylancer.
Mm-hmm. that came out. That's coming out in June.
Yeah, I ordered it.
Oh, you did order it?
Yeah, I was looking at it this morning. I was thinking about it.
I saw that
message that you sent us I saw it, but I didn't like look closely at like the because you know like Discord has like the picture embed on the links.
Right.
Like, I didn't look at that closely at the time, and then like I was on Amazon Japan yesterday. And I saw it like recommending to me this game with the anime girl art, and then I like looked at our message. I didn't even pay attention to what game is this. I just saw it. And I'm like, oh, that was the game that Amazon Japan was telling me to buy yesterday.
So that artwork like is actually the original artist.
Oh, it's new art from the original artist.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is like it has full, like they're working with them on it. I mean, as far as I know, like I think that it's going to be basically just as good as the original.
Yeah.
I mean,
are they really editing the game any other than just adding Columbus Circle to the title screen, probably?
Probably a new copyright on the title screen, but the game itself, they said, is the same. So.
Yeah, it's definitely probably my favorite shmup I've ever played.
Yeah.
So I would like to own it in some form, physically. Yeah.
In general, I just kind of want to start buying more Mega Drive games. Just because I like the cover art so much more.
Yeah,
I like the blue that they kind of. I think they're later Mega Drive games, maybe the ones that have the blue.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, we were talking about Turtles games earlier because I'm a huge Ninja Turtles fan, and I actually have the Japanese Mega Drive versions of the Ninja Turtles games on Genesis on Mega Drive. And, I mean, so
is that real expensive?
Yeah, I bought those games back in the day when they were like, I think I paid $20 each for them.
For the Japanese version.
For the Japanese version. I mean, we're talking now 15 years ago. And I was looking the other day, actually, like, yeah, I wonder what, like, Hyperstone or Return of Shredder, what does that go for? It's like $600 or something? It's like, all right.
It was really interesting for us to, like, see some of the quote-unquote behind-the-case games. Mm. In Japan, like Battletoads and stuff like that. That's, you know, kind of crazy. Like, and the other interesting thing about Japan was that the price threshold for what puts a game behind the case is way higher.
I mean,
you find, you know, 6,000 yen games just out in the open all the time. Like, that was, I got, Gunman's Proof.
Right.
It was a 6,000 yen game. It was just out there. It wasn't even like featured prominently. It was just like, it was like in a bin that I just had to thumb through. I'm like, oh, like amongst a bunch of other games that were, you know, probably, you know, $15, $20, and just randomly here's one copy of this, you know, kind of rare-ish game I want.
That's an interesting game.
Yeah, it's so cool. I just love the look of it.
It was actually a contest winner, I believe. It was some sort of open developer.
Really?
Yeah, there's some, I forget what the real story behind it is, but it's something of an open contest where people could send in their game design or work on the game design kits or something.
It's got great animation.
Yeah. Yeah, Bubsy on Super Famicom is definitely one of those behind the glass games in Japan. That is about $400 for...
Wow. We probably saw a copy when we were there, I bet. I don't recall for sure, though.
One game I always wanted that's very expensive in Japan, except Rendering Ranger 2, is Super Turrican, the Japanese version of it.
Hang on, I'll see if I can get you a link to that. The chat here, hang on. I'm into the...
I'm way into the giant pixel explosions, yep. By the way.
Konami.
Which, see, stuff like that, when a retro game actively displays its artwork as gigantic pixels, like that, to me, is a good counter-argument to the argument that, like, scan lines are an absolute requirement for retro games.
Right.
Like, yeah, don't get me wrong.
It says it's soon available here, but this is where I bought mine from, the Glaylancer
link. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, scan lines are great and fun, but, you know, are definitely not a requirement for my retro experience.
Right.
You know, I not everyone's TV was really good enough to, like, show that clear separation.
Right.
Back in the day. Mine certainly wasn't. That is not something I recall. I remember getting way up close. You know, a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't see pixels. I saw lines and stuff. I was like, that's not how I saw it. Like, I remember getting way up close and, like I had, like, graph paper and colored pencils. And I was, like, trying to, like... Even, like, in several games, including, like, Donkey Kong Country, like, I was trying to make, like Diddy Kong, I was, like, trying to copy the pixels so I could, like, put, like, Donkey Kong Country characters in Mario Paint.
Right.
You know, like even so, though that's, like, a crazy thing to do with, like, pre-rendered characters, but, like, I remember just getting right up in my TV, and, like, I interpreted it as individual pixels that I could map to graph paper. Hmm. You know, I a lot of people disagree, but
no, I think that's fine. I think again they had those big chunky explosions as El Viento.
Yes.
Ah.
Wolf Team. I always had a soft spot for Ernest Evans.
I want to get that after playing it a little bit on the Everdrive.
You gotta get the Mega CD version.
Oh, I know there was one.
Yeah, it's such like a weird looking game. Like the character movement is so weird.
But it's like,
and it's
interesting.
It's considered so, like, it's considered pretty bad.
Oh,
but I remember when we were doing the Mega SG video, and you sent me just a random message, and you say, I kind of like Ernest Evans.
As if it's, like, shameful to admit it.
Yeah, like he was embarrassed by it a little bit.
I mean, I feel like it's not, like, universally considered bad, is it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It seems kind of cool.
But I would suggest getting the Mega CD version just for the music and the cutscenes. Because those are only a Mega CD.
It's got such an interesting animation style, though.
Yeah, very much it's individual, like, sprites for body parts or something.
Yeah,
right?
They're, like, rotating or something.
Yeah.
So I'm not even really sure how they did it on the Genesis.
I mean, the biggest problem with Ernest Evans is just the controls.
What is it, Sandy? Where are your toys? You gotta bring me a toy. I can't throw a toy I don't have. Where are your turtles over here?
I love the last level in this game.
Last level?
Yeah, it is when you're just busting into the capital.
Yeah.
Lots of little people running everywhere.
That's definitely a nice touch for this game, like showing like your real scale here with the little people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Have we ever considered streaming Pulse Man?
Some of the backlog I've got it on Virtual Console.
Yeah, I mean it's an expensive game. It's a super expensive game.
I knew it was expensive, but I know super expensive. Like what is super expensive?
Yeah, no, that's like a glass case game.
Well, I know it's a glass case game, but like how expensive are we talking?
I'm probably like $400 or $500.
Really? Okay, that's a lot more than I thought.
So someone was asking if if this game was censored, and yes, it is. So in the Japanese version, spoilers, I guess, but at the end you confront the president of Earth.
Because
this is very much Gundam. It's colonies versus Earth for resources. Mm-hmm. And at the end you confront the president of Earth about this war he has started, and he takes responsibility for it by shooting himself.
Oh.
And that suicide has been taken out of this version.
Okay. Do you meet him in this version, though?
I think it just skips that whole part. Okay. Like, it's a cutscene.
Nathan Sample Games is saying, what Bubsy game is this? And this is Assault Suit Bubsy.
Assault Suit Bubsy. We're going to make it happen, though. There's also two endings to this game. So there's one ending. If you don't finish this stage properly, it will say mission failed, or you will continue.
Right, that sounds familiar. I can't remember, like, the time that I beat it. Well, I beat it twice. So I can't remember what I saw. This game has definitely gone up in price. Like, I think I paid $16 for it when I got it. But it's definitely gone up since then. It's, like, at least in the 30s now, isn't it?
I saw a copy today when we were out, and it was 25, I think.
Oh, okay.
Card only.
Not as bad as I thought.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It wasn't expensive a few years ago. I feel like anything with the Konami name on it... I mean, this game was published by Konami in the US and Europe. Mm. Or Palcom in Europe. But it isn't a Konami game. But anything that has that logo on it, I feel like the last few years has gone up in price.
Mm-hmm. I mean, except for some of the less popular NES stuff, I don't think is really going to go up in price.
Yeah.
Like roller games, laser invasion, that kind of stuff isn't really going to go up in price, I don't think.
I will say that roller games is worth a lot of money to my heart, though.
Yeah. I told you I bought that recently.
Right.
I'm all about that roller skating and punching people as you roller skate by.
This was this style of level in Target Earth was kind of the moment where I like really kind of fell in love with these games where you have the going from space and dropping in through the atmosphere.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it. You can
crash
see
like landing.
Yeah.
You know, next time I stream with you guys, we should be playing Hook on Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. We were talking about it at the store today. So I always liked Hook, the movie, and the game. So.
I like the movie, too. I feel like it gets a lot of hate. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I liked it.
Yeah, I always liked it. But the game is actually quite good on Super Nintendo. It's made by the same people who made Spawn, the video game, on Super Nintendo.
Huh.
Which is not that great.
Beldark.
Did you ever play
Hero? I guess did you not play very far in this? He's like, wait, I have this game. Yeah. I think were you saying that it looks awesome? You didn't realize how awesome it actually was. I beat Hook on our 24-hour marathon stream.
On Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
There's a Sega CD version with John Williams score. The actual John
Williams
score.
That was always considered the best one. We got a $2 donation from our good friend Blade Blur.
Oh.
He says, great job on the 3DS video. I own a loopy card myself, and from what I tested, there is very little lag. Then again, I can't detect things by frames. Still, I heard it was slightly better video quality than Castle Kitty. Also, what can possibly go wrong?
I heard some people saying it was better video quality. I don't know if that was maybe because maybe they were experiencing like some sort of like connection issues with Castle Kitty. I don't know. I mean, it's I don't know much about the loopy software. And the video was not about, like, you know, I haven't seen the comments in several hours. I'll catch up on them tomorrow. But I was concerned that people were going to be like, oh, you should have looked into this stuff more thoroughly. And, like, that wasn't what the episode was about. It was more just kind of, like, wanting to look at the broader situation and then taking a closer look at what I have, which, given the options that are available, I think is probably the best. I mean, the best fit for me, anyway. You know, I like that 4X integer scale. The pixels are crazy, crazy crisp. I was able to use the GPU resize on some of the comparisons because the edges of the pixels were recorded so cleanly to do that nearest neighbor 2X scale in Premiere. Like, I don't like doing that on, like, OSSC stuff because, like, the pixels aren't entirely hard-edged. I feel like the GPU resize doesn't look quite right on that kind of content. But for this, I was able to do it because the edges are just so crisp, so crisp. I have no complaints about the picture quality. It's just the frame pacing, as John would say.
Yeah.
You know, it's got those issues, and the audio issues are definitely a bit of deal breakers, but for maybe not deal breakers, but these aren't products people can readily go out and buy right now, you know? So, like, I didn't want to get too into the weeds. I just kind of wanted to zoom in on the option that I've got, which I think is pretty good, but, you know, obviously has some flaws. So, you know, it was more of kind of a speculative look of, like, where have we gone right? Where have we gone wrong? What can we do from here?
That's like the number one thing to look out for when we're making a video. It's like we're always like, we don't get too in the weeds. Don't get too in the weeds. Like, we say that about every
video. It's like, oh, whoops, I think I got too into the weeds. Whoops. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, you know, this could be a 12-minute video. I'm just not going to get too into the weeds. Yeah. And it's always like, at least, like, you know, this video was 23
and
minutes.
I'm making a 50-minute video on Phantasy Star.
Yeah, that, you know, all of that.
I don't think it gets too in the weeds. I've cut a little bit of stuff out of your voiceover, mm-hmm. like specific, like aspect ratio stuff that I...
It's always easier, like, once you record the voiceover, like, when you're writing the script, you're like, oh, this is important, I gotta say this. And then once you're listening to the voiceover and you're actually editing, you're like, eh, who cares, cut.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to do it at that point.
The 3DS video that we released today, it has, like, our first on-camera shots are outside. And we shot, like, a lot of shots of, like, the 3DS, like, kind of hidden in the outdoors. And I was very inspired by the kind of stuff you and John did with the Bubsy video. Because I love, like, John does that a lot sometimes.
We did it with the Resident Evil video too.
Yeah. Like, there's something like almost exotic about seeing video games outside. It's like, oh, that's not where they're supposed to be. That's interesting. Video games are meant to be inside. But like, kind of the thinking was like, oh, like the 3DS's natural habitat is outside.
Yeah.
So let's or away from home at least. You know. So I thought like, let's start outside. And then, like, come inside for the capture parts.
Yeah.
It's
kind of silly, but I was like, you know what? I really liked how the look of of John's video was doing all that outside stuff. Like, I want to...
Yeah, I mean, like,
I want to try that.
I had a lot of fun, like, doing that, the handheld stuff with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you... Like, in the stuff that I gave you, like, I've been kind of doing that handheld where I kind of, like, zoom in just, like, a touch.
Oh, like, yeah, where you kind of have that, like, little, that little, like, what is that?
Yeah, do you like that? Like,
I do like the way that you do it. I like it. I can't really do it with my camera because my image stabilization is just not good enough. But like I do like that. I do like that.
Okay, because when
I mean, I intentionally used like two shots like that.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of got into a groove when I was doing the shoot for the opening day baseball thing that I did here for like a local.
Yeah, that kind of has. I don't. Did they use that those kinds of shots in the final edit?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's not very often, but it was. I mean, I don't know. It's fun. It gives it more of a.
Look at that!
It goes hand in hand with feel of it.
Yeah. Like handheld video, like lends itself to that kind of, like, you know, just a little bit of messiness with handheld video is, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fun. I might be doing more of that with certain parts of this Fantasy Star video, just to kind of switch up how it looks throughout. Because that's the number one thing I was worried about is it's such a long video focused on those four games that I was just so afraid that the footage would start to look very samey after a while. But I got around that by just... The first 20 minutes is almost entirely B-roll. Which just means that it's, like, overshot. And it worked out because I started to sense that it could happen if I let it go like that. But I might be doing more of that handheld stuff, like, for, like, later things I haven't shot in B-roll of yet.
Yeah, I would use a lot more handheld footage if my camera just had better stable. I mean, my camera itself doesn't have stabilization, but the one lens that and that lens doesn't work very well for, like, up close stuff because it doesn't focus very close. It's more of a zoom lens.
Yeah.
And the image stabilization on the lens itself just isn't that good. Like, you really need that camera body stabilization.
Right. Nathan Sample Games, who says, "Do you think buying a steady cam or a fly cam would help you guys with handheld shots?" And
I have a gimbal.
Right. Tri has a gimbal for his that he doesn't really use.
I don't use it that often. I mean, I see it being useful more for documentary type stuff. I mean, it's too much effort to use for just, like, everyday B-roll.
But the stabilization that's in the GH5, which is the camera that I have,
is really good,
especially if you have the body itself has stabilization, but if the lens also has it, like, that dual stabilization really gives a lot of the
for a handheld shot to look a little shaky. I mean, that's the point of a handheld shot. You want to look like a handheld shot. You don't want it to be too crazy. Like, some of those walking, like, there was, like, a walking shot in the 3DS episode where, like, Corey was, like, following me. And you can see Jimmy up ahead.
Right. Yeah, but, I used a lot of that stuff just kind of like a lot of the stuff on the Tom episode. Tom documentary
but like too. For like actively walking like that, yes, the gimbal would make that look way steadier, but the fact of the matter is we were walking around Akihabara. We're not gonna bring the gimbal with us, like, no way. Like, it's heavy. If you watch the Super NT episode, the side cam is using the gimbal. It's not that great of a shot, because it was not used. It was a lens that I bought like for pretty cheap, and it's not a very good lens on that side shot. And the gimbal, I mean, it's heavy. It wears you out.
Before I even got my camera, that was shot before I got my camera.
Was it?
I think so.
No, the Super NT stuff. No, we used your camera for the main cam on that. You had your GH5.
I guess I did. Yeah.
So one of the games I've been trying to get the last few years, and it's just too expensive. I can't really make myself pay that much. Is Metal Warriors, which was a LucasArts game. For the longest time, people thought was connected to this game because it's very similar. I think it was EGM back in the day that called it Assault Suits Mercury or some. I forget.
Really?
They actually gave it a fake Japanese name for whatever reason. I forget the reason, but for many years, Metal Warriors was kind of touted as some sort of connection to.
Interesting.
Because Konami also published Metal Warriors. Oh. So that, you know, there was a lot of overlap there. But that game is one of the rarest now, I think, on the Super Nintendo, so good luck. If someone wants to donate it to me, please.
Probably one of the coolest things about it is that you have like a lightsaber type.
Yes, I do remember that. And it was multiplayer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It's a really good
multiplayer mode.
Huh.
Kiwi in the chat says, really appreciate your guest tonight. He's really good at Cybernator and chill.
Nice. Thank you so much.
And Frank Strasser says, also he destroyed Bubsy.
I did destroy Bubsy. yeah, hopefully get to see more of each other moving forward. So
sure.
Yeah, I mean, so
you were visiting John. Like, when were you visiting John?
Last time I visited him was in February, so I guess I should kind of introduce myself. I don't know how much.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Nah, so back in the day, I used to work in video game music. I was part of Destructoid and a lot of these different places, and wrote a lot of books about video games. I worked with Hardcore Gaming 101.
Different
Japanese.
Kurt's a good friends of ours.
Worked with a lot of Japanese companies like Square Enix Japan stuff, doing video game music projects, symphonies. So that was kind of my background.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and John got to know each other. We were aware of each other's work, and John just kind of, hey, you should come back and do stuff. Today I work as a localizer for Japanese games. So
you do a lot of traveling for your work.
Too much.
You're like all around America. You're all around Japan. You're all around Europe. So that's why you were like randomly in Charlotte or in North Carolina.
Yes.
For meetings related to your business. And
you're like,
hey, I want to send you and Corey some stuff, and I give you your address, and you're like, oh, I'm going to be in North Carolina next
week.
Yeah, I'll just bring it to you.
I was literally like 10 minutes away from you. We found out. It's like, oh, you're staying there?
That's crazy.
So, I was like, why the heck are you in Charlotte? Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, like, Charlotte's, like, the biggest city in North Carolina.
Right.
Like, people assume it's Raleigh, but it's not. But, you know, at the same time, as someone who lives here, I'm like, what's here other than Bojangles and Shomars?
That's all you need.
by the way, he had, for lunch today, he had the burger pita. Remember?
That was. I actually have to pause the game right now because I'm thinking about that burger. But that was. It's like the Greek burger. It was just life changing.
It's so good. I mean, the first time I had it, I made sure that we went back again the next day.
Right.
So we have to go back.
Speaking of localization, if you notice here, it says Flitz Cafe.
Uh-huh.
So, unless the man's name is Flitz, then I apologize to the Flitz family.
So you do a lot of localization now, or have you done, you've been doing it for a long time?
So the company I work for has been around for 6 years now, but I mean, I have worked on both fan translations and other things in the past.
Are you more like managing those projects or directly handling translation?
So now I'm more, I'm producing and managing mm-hmm. projects now. So I don't speak fluent Japanese by any means, but like, you know, I worked in Japan a lot mm-hmm. and just kind of have a lot of connections. So yeah, it's an interesting job. It's very challenging. People think translating games is just, well, translate into English, and that mm-hmm. is so far from the truth. So,
well, did Tri tell you about like how one of like the dream documentaries that we want to do is like on game translations, like
the early days, like you know,
we had been in contact with some people, like I would talk to Jeremy Blostein,
right,
about it,
who is like the guy to talk to. Yeah. I guess Device from Working Designs would be another guy.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Ted Woolsey.
Ted Woolsey. Yeah.
I mean, that's something that like that is a dream project that we've been talking about for a long. If we had less stuff on our plate currently, like that would be like our probably the thing that we'd be pursuing the hardest right now, I think.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's like so much we want to do, but it can be like when you get like a project that's so exciting, sometimes it's like stressful too, because it's like, oh my gosh, like I have to make this really good.
Yeah, but I mean, like doing that, doing like a translation thing would be so cool. Like it's just such an interesting thing. I mean, Working Designs, a dream project for me. Like it's that is something that I want to do really bad. We were actually in contact for a minute with Victor Ireland.
Oh yeah,
who said that he'd like to hear more about it? But that was right around the time that Summon Night 5 was coming out.
So I thought it was 6.
Like, well, this is where you normally see the president kill himself.
Oh, but okay. So they just completely cut
they
that
just
scene.
Fade to black.
6. Whatever one, the last one that came out. 5 is the one that came on the PSP. 6 is the one that's like the Vita and PS4. And he said, oh, you know, like once this is all out and everything, I guess we can talk about it some more. And I mean, I tried reaching out to him a couple more times and didn't hear anything. So, but that is definitely a dream project of something I would love to do.
The first line almost.
That's impressive. Got to the last level on that. Like, I sure couldn't do that in this game.
So, Tomato would be pretty awesome to talk to, just like a lot of people. I mean, so what kind of fan translation stuff did you work? Were you like a specific group?
Because of my job today,
you're not allowed to say.
I probably should mention it, because some of the companies I work with now, I actually fan translated. I helped with the fan translations. So, it's one of those weird things. I'll tell you after the stream.
That's fine. I definitely understand.
But yeah, there wasn't too many fan translations I did work on. I'm not like Gideon Z or anyone who was like amazing, but I did help with a few, so. Thing I want to do the most these days, which hopefully in the future I can do, is I've been working a long time with the PC-98 in Japan, and I've been wanting to do a preservation project for PC-98 software, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that hopefully someday I can kind of do.
Do you know Artemio?
With what?
PC-98.
No, not really. I mean, I know Yuzo Koshiro is a fan, and that's about it.
Did you ask something, Corey?
Do you know Artemio Urbina, who does like makes the 240p test suite?
Yes.
Like, he does like he's done like a lot of work and stuff with like. A lot of stuff like that.
I'm very familiar with it, with him.
Okay.
We like to refer to him as the nicest human in the universe.
Yeah, basically. He is the nicest, most genuine person who's always just wants to, like, help.
Right. Like, there's like literally no way that, like, any one person should have, like, the time or mental capacity to be as like consistently and always helpful as he is.
Yeah.
Like,
and basically
I don't know how he does it.
He's like, helps you essentially like the, at the exact time that you ask him for it too. He's like, oh,
he's not like,
let me just run into my, in the other room and I can help you out.
I'll pull this arcade board off the shelf and start poking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's true. But PC-98 is, I got a copy of Ease. I think I got is of Ease 3. Yeah. PC-98 when I was in Japan. It was really, really cheap. Because I think there might have been an issue with one of the discs, or they didn't know if it was gonna work or not. But I have a friend, a local friend here that has one, and he had to find like a specific monitor that could handle it.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem with PC-98 is that it usually uses a lot of proprietary systems, and you can't just hook up like whatever screen you want and stuff like that. So I have a fully functioning PC-98 at home, which I'm actually bringing down to John Lindman pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we're going to do anything with it, but it's just he wanted to play it. So I have to transport a huge computer through customs. Just for my friend.
I'm impressed that you're just like, I can't do that. Like, that you're willing to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that's a lot of effort.
Well, you know, John is worth the effort, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Did we get any B-roll of a PC 98 at Beep Shop?
Yeah. Yep. There's some in the upcoming documentary. Speaking of documentary, it's looking like it's going to be the 27th or 28th, I think it's going to be out. That's why
the Secret Japan project can be out.
Yeah.
There's shots that came out of the top looked a little funny, didn't they?
There's some corruption in the graphics on this part.
Is that normal?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because I'm going to say, because we saw that weird stuff in Bubsy, maybe, because this is the real car, like, maybe my childhood SNES is getting old. So they still got some of the, you know, the anime character scenes.
So the artwork for this game was actually done by Satoshi Urishihara, who's a very famous artist in Japan.
Oh, okay.
He also did the Langrisser art.
Oh, yeah.
Most people in Japan would know him for his 18+ content.
Mm.
So I have all of his art books, and it's very hard to explain to my parents why I have them when they look through my collection. Or my wife, for that matter. But I say it's because of Assaults with Vulcan, and we leave it at that. So,
oh, yeah.
that's
There is actually a art book of his where the original artwork for Assaults with Vulcan is in there.
So, oh.
And this is one of the illustrations they made for it, this embrace. So, yeah, many years ago... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention the PS2 remake of this.
Oh, we should not mention that.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot about it.
It's terrible. So there is a PS2 remake of this. It was made by Extreme, who held the license for a while. It does have a new introduction level, which has nothing to do really with the overall story. And then that's it. They ruined the music.
Mm.
And difficulty is also off. So, not a good game. It was released in Japan and Europe only. And Korea.
How did Konami end up coming by to be the publisher for this? It just seems like an interesting thing. I mean, it kind of fits in with their lineup, but it's like Konami wasn't usually in the business of publishing other people's games.
I would guess just to fill up their calendar year with titles. I mean...
I guess the restrictions that, you know, led to Ultra Games didn't really exist anymore.
I mean, they did for this game in Europe, they did use the Palcom label. So
I'm not even familiar with that.
So, yeah, Palcom was what, you know, Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles?
yeah.
That was released by Palcom.
So, like, this and Bubsy, did you grow up with the PAL versions of them?
So Bubsy, I grew up with the PAL version. Okay. Cybernator also, I had... actually, I imported this via... Because I saw it in EGM as a kid. My mom used to buy me video game magazines, and she would kind of import me a game or two per year.
Oh, so wow.
I was fortunate, because my mom also played video games.
Okay.
So if I saw a video game that looked cool, she was always kind of happy to, like, oh, let's check it out. You know?
So was, like, was importing bigger in Europe than...
No.
Than you, no?
For the most part, I mean,
you would think it would be because, you know, the word of the whole 50 hertz.
So we didn't know. Hertz. That we did not know much. Like, I discovered the 60 hertz and or the PAL, you know, slowdown thing. I discovered that probably early 2000s, I'd say, when someone... I went to the U.S. for the very first time when I was 18, and someone had Sonic the Hedgehog. And I was like, oh, you know, Sonic, let's play that. Not a big fan, but why not? And I was stunned because I was like, why is your Genesis doing this in fast forward? Like, the music is completely off. And he's like, what are you talking about? This is before we could use YouTube to, you know, anything. So I was just like, this, there's something wrong here.
Well, know, was it difficult to make that adjustment?
No, because it sounded much better. Because I remember thinking that the music in Sonic was just kind of slow and boring. And then I heard, like, Green Hill Zone, the American version. I was like, yeah, like this.
Now, Genesis, I could be wrong, but Genesis stuff, like in PAL mode, the music is kind of bound to the system speed. But, like, Super Nintendo stuff, the music's normal speed, isn't it?
Only if they did the proper optimization for it. Okay. I guess this is a good topic for another episode. Is like the differences between PAL and...
Yeah, I mean, people want to touch on PAL stuff more, but I mean, it's a little difficult.
So what you're saying is that we're going to do like a 12-hour stream of every Asterix game ever made.
Oh, man. I
own all of them, so I'll bring them next time.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have like two suitcases full of Asterix, sir?
Hey, we've got Super NTs. We can play that stuff.
Oh, that's true. I don't have to bring it anymore.
And I've got that PAL, that Asia PAL Mega Drive. What's interesting is it seems to be region-free because I was able to play both U.S. Contra Hardcore and Monster World, Japanese Monster World 4 on which I'm pretty sure Contra 4 has software region locking.
Yeah,
or
because
not Contra 4. What did I say? I meant to say hardcore, obviously.
Hardcore, yeah. Yeah, I think mostly it's the cartridges on the Genesis determines if it's region locked or not. Because
When you get the region lock message, it says this is only designed for use on Japanese NTSC and PAL systems and French CCAM.
Right.
Which so it is like. Is Japanese and European regions, are they considered region-free? Or are they considered cross-region compatible even though the speed is different? That's what the message seems to imply, but I've never really been sure.
No, I don't think so. The hardest part for us in Europe, especially for the NES, or specifically the NES, was that there was different manufacturers for it in Europe. It was Mattel, Nintendo, and another company, I forget, one in France. And cartridges were not cross-compatible with the different European systems.
Oh.
So you would have one cartridge that would say, like, A on it, or B. So it would PAL A, PAL B, and those were not cross-compatible. So sometimes you would go into any toy store, game store, in any country in Europe, pick up a game, and it would not really tell, if unless you knew, and no one told you. There was no one keeping track of that. So I did get a few games like Super Turrican on NES I bought, and it didn't work. And I was like, is this how it's supposed to be? Like, is it just for show? Like, Turrican was such a love of mine when I was a kid, so I was really disappointed when that didn't work.
I've got a... Corey and I were actually both gifted... We were invited years ago to a convention in Quebec.
Oh, Montreal. Yeah.
And no, it was Gatineau, across the river from Ottawa.
Ottawa. Okay.
And the organizer gifted us each a copy of the NTSC French Kirby's Adventure.
Oh, okay.
Which we didn't know existed, and he said is the only French language game release for the NES in North America, which I'm sure that localization was done for France first and foremost, but it's very interesting because not only is the text changed, but also like the artwork for Kirby's powers, like have French words, like, you know, that's not text, that's sprites, like sprites that are, you know, drawn. You know, there's a lot of effort went into that. I almost wonder if it's literally the same ROM as the French one, but just, you know, that obviously plays on it in NTSC speeds.
That could very well be. I mean,
so, I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, the most famous example of differences is Contra, which we talked about earlier today.
Probotector
and Contra. And I'm staunchly on the Probotector train. Like,
I've asked people, like, do people in Europe have nostalgia for Probotector? Or do they feel like, ew, that was the thing that we got and that wasn't what it was supposed to be?
I always liked it much better. And I think most of my friends, too, would say that Probotector is much cooler because they look like Pat Labor robots. No,
I don't know. I mean, part of the appeal of Contra to me is like, it's just two dudes with machine guns and bandanas. Like, it's just like the perfect action movie stereotype. And I love that.
So, I mean, you do have the aliens, and it has like a little bit of a Predator vibe at the beginning. So you have a point. It's just it's not strong enough of a point to knock off Probotector.
I don't even know if I've played like a Probotector. I should try it. Something. I play as the Probotector in Contra 4.
Yeah, which is the best character in that.
Yeah.
Also, Turk, the Dinosaur Hunter on N64, changed all humans to robots.
Really? Is Turok himself still a human?
He's a human.
Okay. Yeah, when did Europe kind of lighten up on that?
Early 2000s. Mm-hmm. You know, around the game.
I mean, Germany was probably
a big
cause of it.
Yeah, because, you know, Germany had the main office of Nintendo Europe, for example, and stuff like that. So most of it was dictated by German law.
And they didn't really like offer other versions in other countries. Yeah,
there was no point because just cost effective. It's not
and people effective. People probably wouldn't even know as long
at
as
that time you
would. You know not they wouldn't really know what people were getting on other continents.
Right.
All right. Well,
is that gonna do it?
I guess that'll do it for this week. That was fun. Thanks for showing us some pro play and some games that. You know, we probably would have played Cybernair on our stream sometime, but I don't know if we could have beaten it cold. I mean, we definitely wouldn't have been able to beat Bubsy, so.
I did have to use the napalm, but.
Yeah, you know, so. We were in a hurry.
It was true. It was in the interest of time.
Yes. Yeah. I can't beat it without, I promise. But.
I've done it once, but I wouldn't count on myself doing it again.
So next time it's Assault Suit Bubsy.
We gotta make it happen. Gotta make it happen. Yeah. Make those connections happen.
John Lindman, we're waiting for you.
All right. Well.
Yep.
Well, good night, everyone. We'll see. I will see you next week. You're gone. You're gonna be gone. I'll probably try to get a guest on or something.
Yeah.
And we might do some weekday streams over on Twitch.
But
we'll be back here on YouTube on Sunday, or I will be anyway. So,
yep.
Till then, I'm not like used to the camera being that far away from me. Bye.
I'll just wave in every direction.